Are you going to put that right there? Okay. We're recording, and we'll get to that in a second. Throughout this whole process, anything comes up, just email me. Unfortunately, I check my phone way too much, so even if you email me at 8 or 9 at night, I might answer. If you're going to miss a class, please just, sponsors, that's okay, I don't need to hear from you, but class members, if you're going to miss, if you'll just email me and let me know what's going on, so I kind of stay in touch with you. If you miss one, we record every class. I'm going to put it on a podcast site. I will send out that link on Mondays, and then you can listen to it on your phone, in your car, whatever. Then if you have questions, talk to your sponsor or email me, and if I don't know the answer, I will find it for you, okay? So we'll, as we progress through the summer, hit some pretty heady topics, and there may be a question that I really can't answer, but I'll find it out for you if you have a burning desire. So I want to introduce the team. Let's see, let's go around this way. Team, I will go by table and you stand up and just introduce yourself, say your name and whether you're a cradle Catholic or a convert, just because I think it's nice for you guys to know.
Hey, I'm Mary. I'm kind of neither, I'm more of a revert. I actually got confirmed as an adult, but I was, long story. But,
baptized Catholic.
Baptized Catholic. And this summer I will sort of be co-chairing the sponsor team with Amy.
Hi y'all, I'm Joaquin. I'm also somewhat of a revert, and I'm a sponsor.
This is just team, but thank you for introducing yourself. If we all go around the whole room, we'll be here for an hour. Okay, just team. Yeah, you might have. Welcome.
And I am married to Helen, and I do whatever she tells me to do.
Not really. Anybody at that back table? No. Who's next, team? Amy, where are you? Oh, there's Amy.
I'm Amy. I'm the sponsor coordinator.
She's cradle Catholic. She didn't convert. Cradle Catholic. That's all. And Brad's a convert, by the way. He and I converted together in 96. Okay, anybody at the back table? Any more team members? This is just team. Hang on. Anybody else? Oh, Scott.
My name is Scott Mannion. I'm a convert. Christ the King, RCIA class 2013.
See, he's recent.
Yep.
And Jeff?
I'm Jeff, Predicant.
And there are a couple of other team members who are not here tonight. They're on trips, and they will be here, and a couple of them are presenting. So we'll introduce them next week as they get here. So the team members are here to facilitate your journey. They are here to answer questions. They're at the tables to keep the conversation moving when we have conversation going, but they're just another resource for you guys. So do get to know them. They're all amazing people. They care a lot about their Catholic faith, and so they're awesome. And I thank them for their gift of time this summer to RCA. Okay, so let's talk about what RCA is gonna be like so you know what to expect. I feel like if we give you the expectation, makes it easier. So we'll always meet here at 5:00 on Sundays. I find that the easiest thing to do, if you like the 4:00 Mass, if that works in your schedule, is to go to the 4:00 Mass and come right here. Now, if you love the morning Masses or the Saturday afternoon Mass, that's totally fine. You do what works for your schedule. But the expectation is that you will go to Mass every Sunday. So we have 13 pick from here. Go when you want to go, but definitely go to Mass and then come at 5 on Sundays. All of our Bible studies, except for the men, no, the two men's. Jeff, is yours still going this summer?
Yes, it is.
I wonder what that says about y'all. Y'all are better than we are. We have lots of Bible studies here at Christ the King, but our women's Bible studies don't meet in the summers, but we have two men's Bible studies that do. And I'll just send y'all that information because it's going to be a busy summer, and I'm not really expecting you to do anything Bible study or small group-wise now, but I do want you to think about that for the fall because as part of your conversion journey, you do need to be studying the Word. It is very important to do that. And one of the easiest ways to do that is either be in a formal Bible study or form a small group or join one of our small groups. And we have a whole organization that's called CTK Small Groups, and they help you sign up and they place you in one and then you meet at people's houses. Awesome. So think about one of those two things for the fall. If you really want to be in a Bible study this summer, Women, I can't help you, but men, I could give you two times. So think about that, and I'll send out information on all of those. But I just wanted to mention that once we hit September, do be studying the Word, because that's a vital, important piece of what we do as Catholics. There's your reminder again to go to Mass weekly. Obviously, if you are already going to daily Mass, if your spouse, fiance, boyfriend, girlfriend goes to Mass daily or several times during the week, go with. That's awesome. But just at least go on Sundays. Binders. Oh, let me tell you what your books are. So you've got a Catholic Bible, you have a catechism, and you have Jesus Calling, which is a prayer book, and I'm going to talk about that as we get a little bit more into the class. It's actually not a Catholic prayer book. It's just a prayer book that I have loved for years and years. You also have a binder, because a few years ago, a sponsor told me I gave out too many handouts for y'all to hold loosely, and so I better give a binder. So now you get a binder. So if you'll open it, you will see there's a calendar. I believe that the dates are definite. We don't meet July 1st because of the 4th of July holiday. The only thing that may shift is a topic may change later in the summer, but I'm pretty sure I have this nailed down now. So the tricky thing is that July 8th, when I know a few of you may still be on vacation from the 4th, is when Father Ray could do the teaching mass. And the teaching mass is one of the things that is so helpful when you're becoming Catholic, because it helps you understand all the beautiful things that happen in the mass. Now, you could study that for 10 years and still not quite understand every single thing about it. Some priests spend their entire lives deeply studying the mass. But at least we can give you a beginning understanding through a teaching mass. So I hope that it was the only day he could do it. So I was like, okay, but I recognize that some of you won't be here. So we will record it, and you can listen to that. I also have a couple of recordings of previous teaching masses done by other priests, so you could always listen to that. So the calendar should be set. You sit wherever you want every week. I encourage you to move around and get to know others in this class. Having interviewed, I think, all of you but three, this is a really cool group of people. There's a lot of depth, a lot of earnestness. A lot of people have been thinking about this for a long time. You all will enjoy each other's company. So definitely move around and get to know each other. It'll be profitable for you. Resources for you to use as we go through the class, and then also as you go forward once you become Catholic. The first is called formed.org. And if you will look on your tables, we've given you a bulletin. On page four, in this bottom corner, there's a little word that says, a pocket of information that says formed. So formed is like the Catholic Netflix. It has so many resources. There's series, there's a great series by the St. Paul Center called The Bible and the Sacraments. If you want to watch that this summer, it'll just be extra learning. It's awesome. There are movies to watch on saints. There are movies to watch on various topics. There's a kids section. You name it, it's on there. Content does flip. It's not static. So Father Barron's Catholicism series, I don't know if any of you have heard of that. It's an amazing series. It was expensive to buy. It was $100. It was on there, and then they took it down. So if you really want to watch that, let me know. I have a couple of series I can lend out there. But the point is, go check out Formed. So if you look on how you get on, you go to formed.org. Well, actually, just type in cathedralctkform.org, and you'll go right to you'll be into our portal, and it's all free. So we pay for that monthly for the parish, so that's why you get free access to it. Okay, so that's just a great resource tab. Another great resource two great resources are apps. The first is called Laudate. Wait a minute, I got to make sure this doesn't insult me. Remind me later. I cannot put the next thing on there. I'm going to find Laudate for you so you know. So Laudate has the Cairo. That's what it looks like. When you go to the App Store, Laudate and My Parish are both free. They do very much the same thing. They provide you a place to have prayer resources, confession resources, information resources. The best thing to do is put them both on your phone and scroll through and look at them and see which one you like best. I find them to be very much the same use, so you will have a preference for one or the other. The My Parish one, when you go to My Parish, you download the app My Parish, put in Cathedral of Christ the King Atlanta. You'll be able to pick that as your parish, and then we'll send you reminders, it'll, like, confession times are changing in July. You'll start to get those pushes. If you hate push notifications, you probably won't like the app, so pick Laudate. If you like push notifications, then pick My Parish. Some people really don't like them. I kind of like them, but that's up to you. So download those apps. Spend 10 or 15 minutes and just look at them and see. Lots of great resources for you. But Laudate, for example, has the daily readings, has Liturgy of the Hours, the Order of the Mass, daily prayer, daily Bible verse. It has an interactive rosary where when you're learning to pray the rosary, you literally touch each bead and it tells you the prayer to say. It is rosary for beginners. It's how I really learned to pray it well, was that app. It has a confession app. It has the catechism. It's actually on the Laudate app. It has lots of Marian prayers. It has the Vatican documents. It's a great app. So check both of those out. The catechism, we will talk about how to use it and what it's used for in 2 weeks when we talk about scripture and tradition, and we'll talk about the Bible and the catechism. So go ahead and bring your Bible and catechism to every class. You don't have to bring the prayer book. That's for at-home use. But a lot of the presenters will refer to both of them. You can always pull them up on your phone, but it's kind of nice to have the hard copies to refer to. So if you are already familiar with the catechism and you just want to go ahead and start diving in on topics, that's awesome. If you want to wait a couple of weeks, our presenter that night will explain to you how it's set up, how to use it, what it's for, where it came from, all that sort of thing. Make sense? Any questions so far? I think you all should have sponsors. We have never, Amy says, started off with everybody matched. So, yay God. Everybody has a person, and that is really exciting. If sponsors or class members, if you have need anything about your sponsors, if you have questions, talk to either Amy or Mary. They are your point people. And they will be emailing you, not me. I email the class, but all the sponsor contact comes from them. Handouts. I am going to, every Friday, and I've told you if we've had our meeting, I will have told you this. Every Friday I'm going to send out a reminder email. It will tell you the topic for Sunday, and I'll have all the handouts attached. Don't print them because I'm going to do exactly what I did tonight. I'll bring you the handouts. And then if you're the kind of person that likes to read before, read them on your phone or computer beforehand. If you're the kind of person that likes to hear the presentation and then read, do it that way. Totally up to you, but I want you to have them before in case you're that kind of learner. So at the end of the summer, you will have a nice thick bunch of handouts on the basics, the highlights of what it is to be Catholic. I think summer RCIA is basically sort of the greatest hits of RCIA. It's the things I think you can't live without. It's what you need to know to live an active Catholic life. The longer class has 22 classes, and at the end of the summer, I'm going to give you the schedule for the fall, and if there's anything that we didn't get this summer that you would like to come, you can just come and audit those classes. You don't have to tell me you're coming, whatever, you can just come. But that way, if there are things that you didn't get answered, you have an opportunity to do that. Make sense? Okay. So now we're going to talk about what we're really going to talk about tonight. Oh, the big questions. I was one ahead of myself. So if I were going to ask you guys why you're here, why you're sitting in this room, and we're going to do a show of hands, many of you would say that you are either, and if you were in any of these categories, raise your hand, dating, engaged to, or married to a Catholic person. Show of hands. Okay, look around the room, you guys. So God, you can put them down now. God meets you where you are, and he frequently meets you through the people that you love. So you can thank those people that you love for bringing you here. Some of you are here because you've been thinking about this for a really long time. I think there are several of you who have been pondering this for 5 or even a couple of you, 10 years. And you've thought about it, you've prayed about it, and here you are. And that's an amazing point to have thought about it for that long and prayed. And now come to the point that you think you're ready to do this. And some of you are just checking it out. You don't know yet that you want to be Catholic. You're exploring it, and that's fine too. There is no obligation. This is a journey, as Monsignor said. We're here to facilitate it and walk it with you, but there's no obligation. If at the end of the summer you say, my gosh, this has been great, but I want to wait, that's cool. And if you do that, I'm not going to make you retake the classes. You can just call me in 6 months or a year and go, hey, I'm ready, or never, whatever. I'll meet you where you are. God meets you where you are. So this is a very flexible program. So don't feel any pressure. As we go through the summer, there are going to be things that are difficult. They're culturally challenging, socially challenging. The church stands for things that are not the norm anymore. So as we break into those, wrestle with them. Dig in, do extra reading, talk to your sponsor, send me emails, whatever. I want you to dig in and really embrace all these teachings that we have. So team members are here because they love their faith and they want to share that with others. And sponsors, it's usually the same thing. They want to share their faith. And a lot of sponsors do this because they want sort of a reboot. They want a spiritual reboot themselves. So that's why we're all here. And I'm here because I love RCIA. So Brad and I converted in 96. And within a year or two of converting, became part of the team, started giving presentations, were sponsor coordinators. We just love the conversion experience and process. So I've loved RCIA since I converted, and that's why I do what I do. And nicely, the cathedral pays me to be here, so it's a pretty good deal for me. So that's all why specifically we are here in this room tonight. But there's bigger questions of why we're here. Who, why, what questions that relate to what pulled us here for bigger reasons. Questions like, why are we here on earth? Who made us? What are we supposed to do with our lives? What is our purpose? What gives life meaning? What is the good life and how do I get it? And then perhaps more importantly, how do I do something with those answers once I know them? You didn't think you were taking a philosophy class, did you? But let's see how the Catholic Church would answer those questions. So I'm just going to read you the question. I'm going to tell you the answers. And a lot of these came from the old-fashioned Baltimore Catechism, which I still love. Why are we here on earth? God created us and the world in which we live. Who made us? God. What are we to do with our lives? Get to know God, love him, and serve him. What is my purpose? To become the best version of myself and live out God's will in my life. What gives life meaning? Relationship with God, loving others, and being loved by God and others. What is the good life? And how in the world do I get that? The good life, according to the church, is a life lived out according to God's plan for us and knowing God and his love for us. We receive the good life through baptism. It opens the door to new life in Christ, and we live it out in relationship with Jesus. So let's talk more about the good life. The world is falling apart. I bet nobody would disagree with me on that. We have earthquakes, exploding volcanoes. Did you see the picture of the volcano, pictures from above? The volcano's got these big cracks in it. Looks like the whole thing's gonna blow. We have terrorists hunting civilians. Politically, our country is, tense is a nice word, it's a disaster. No one can agree, no one can even have a civil conversation about opposite sides of an issue. There are 630,000 babies killed in the United States each year through abortion. 44% of marriages end in divorce. 500,000 people die each year in the U.S. from drug overdose. People are dying daily from cancer, heart attacks, and strokes. My own children are 22, 21, and 18. And I can tell you that there is not much good news in the young adult teen world in terms of the way they're living and what's happening there. Alcohol and drug use happens earlier and earlier. Sex happens earlier and earlier. Addiction to screens, inability to connect with real people. I could go on. It's all kind of depressing, isn't it? So you're like, okay, this is going to be a really fun summer class. It's a downer. Is there any good news out there? Well, of course the answer is yes, there is good news. I'm going to give it to you. You can live a joy-filled, peaceful life amidst all of the pain and suffering in the world. God, who made you, who knows you intimately, he knows the number of hairs on your head, he knows the inside secrets of your soul. And even if you don't know him yet, he loves each of us so much that despite our constant turning away from him, he continually offers himself to us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world in the flesh to teach us and show us how to live and love each other. And then Jesus did the unimaginable thing and he sacrificed himself. He died on a cross for us, for each and every one of us, so that we could be freed from sin and live with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternally. Jesus took our place on the cross. He stepped in front of the bullet for us so that we can be freed from sin. Freedom from sin and living in relationship with God is living the good life. I'm going to say that again. Freedom from sin and living in relationship with God is living the good life. That's a very bold statement, but it's the heart of what Christians all over the world believe. Another way to say that same gospel proclamation, in summary, is Jesus is the chosen Messiah of God, the one who was promised. Though he was crucified, he rose gloriously from the dead, appearing to his disciples, and having been exalted at the right hand of the Father through his ascension, now summons all to him through the ministry of the church. This proclamation requires a response from us, that we should repent of our sins, accept baptism, and live a new life which Christ is offering us. This alone will prepare us for the coming judgment that is to come upon all humanity at the end times. There's an urgent need to conform ourselves to Christ and be prepared by him for that coming judgment. So what does that mean for all of us as individuals? Oops, sorry y'all about this little apple thing. For those who are deeply wounded, Jesus is the healing. For those who are slightly bored, that's an awful lot of the world today, Jesus is complete satisfaction. For the lonely, he is your constant companion. To understand these three statements, I'm going to tell you how I became a Christian. I'm going to give you my personal witness. So I grew up here in Atlanta and grew up nominally Episcopalian. My mom went to church, say my brother and I went to her. We went mostly Christmas and Easter, sometimes to Sunday school, you know, when the pageants happened, like Christmas pageants, and I got to be an angel. I remember that vividly. But we didn't go that regularly. My dad didn't go at all. He still is a institutional religion is ridiculous because those people sit in there and they think they're all holy and they're sinners. And I'm like, yes, exactly that is the point. The church is a hospital for sinners. But he doesn't get that. So that's the environment I grew up in. Not a whole lot of God in it. In high school, I was a rule follower and didn't get into trouble. I was really a pretty good kid. I made good grades. I played competitive tennis and I was close to my family. I went to UVA, to the University of Virginia, which is a great school, but a huge party school. I went there to play tennis, and I got there and panicked. We had to try out to make the team, which coach hadn't told us, and I didn't make the team. So all of a sudden, I was sitting there in a situation where tennis had been everything. Really, tennis in my family was God. And I didn't have it anymore, and I was in this party environment. I was like, okay, fine. I'm not going to play tennis. I will be the best partier that's ever there has ever been. So I had held off in high school because of tennis. That really, I had to get up at 5 a.m. all the time. I had to drive way out. Well, way out was just right outside of 285, but in the 80s, that seemed really far away. Anyway, it was this tennis center called WCT. I don't know if it's still there. But anyway, being a serious tennis player held me in line. So all of a sudden, all that was gone. So partying all out is what happened to me. And that's really sort of an understatement. By my second year of college, so at the end of year two, I had dropped all of my classes but one. I melted the engine of one car that my father had given me because it was leaking oil, and I drove it over 100 miles an hour on a back road of Virginia, and the whole engine locked up because it was leaking oil and it ran out of oil. And so I melted one engine, and then drunk and high, totaled another car, and miraculously all four of us involved in that wreck did not die. No, nobody even got hurt. We didn't even have on seat belts. I didn't get a DUI because it was 1984 and they didn't give DUIs back then. The next year they cracked down, but shockingly I did not get a DUI. So my dad said, guess what? We think that you're probably not rated to be in college. I was like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. So they brought me back here and I worked at a magazine for 6 months, which was awesome. It was Southern Accents magazine. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that, but it was a home magazine. And I was an English major, so I wrote articles. I went around with the editors, helped them pick houses. It was awesome. Well, that magazine got bought by a bigger magazine, and so I was supposed to be home for a whole year. That ended early. And so my parents said, okay, well, you can go back to school. Bad idea. So I was back in Virginia, and honestly, I drank more. I did more drugs, and unfortunately for me, hooked up with more boys. It was a bad, bad, bad time in my life. So by the end of my fourth year, I was absolutely miserable. My friends were all graduating, and I was staying because I had to do a fifth year because I'd taken that year off, and I was out of control again. And in November of my fifth year, so that was 1987, I was taking a class called mental health. It was a gut. That's why I took it, so I could get an A. And I don't even know what else we talked about besides, I mean, we just talked about, it wasn't even like psychology. It was feel-good mental health class. And it was in late November, right before Thanksgiving, a guy named Michael Crawford came to talk to the class about alcoholism. And to this day, the image of him on that stage is just burned in my brain. I will never forget it. He stood up there at a podium and described his journey through alcoholism. And I sat there and I was frozen in my chair, and I looked at him and I thought, oh my gosh, I think I'm that. Now, I have alcoholics on both sides of my family, grandparents and great-grandparents, and it's all over my family. So I don't know why it had never occurred to me or my parents that this was probably what was going on, but until that moment, I really hadn't thought, okay, I'm an alcoholic. But with his description of the disease and what it looks like, I realized at that point that I was an alcoholic. So I went up after class and I talked to him and I said, hey, can I come by your, he ran a rehab clinic. And I said, can I come talk to you? And he said, sure. So I go over there the next day and he made me take all these tests. And I was like, this is so stupid. Maybe I'm not really alcoholic. I'm just gonna leave. And at the end he goes, well, I have good news for you, but you're not gonna like it. And I was like, oh, what? And he goes, you got 100 on all the tests. And I was like, what does that mean? Because the questions were like, how many times do you black out every time I drink? You know, you're definitely an alcoholic and you need to go into rehab. And I was like, I can't, I'm trying to graduate. All my friends are out, I need to graduate, I need to get a job. He said, you can do outpatient treatment. So I went to AA meetings and I did treatment outpatient so I could finish taking classes. And it was a huge gift that I could do this and not go inpatient. I probably would have benefited a lot from inpatient treatment, but this did allow me to graduate only 1 year late instead of like two. So at AA meetings is where I met Brad. So he and I are both in recovery. I have 30 years and he has, I don't know, 34, something like that, which is kind of hard to believe. In AA, and AA is a very, very spiritual program. The two founders worked a lot with a nun, a Catholic nun, to put the program together. And so there are so many similarities between converting and beginning to live a Christian life and going through recovery. So I learned how to work the 12 steps. My sponsor taught me about a power greater than myself. And I began to understand really pretty very quickly that that power was God. I very soon knew that, well, that power greater than myself. Okay, let's just name that's God, name it. And that God wanted to help me get rid of the bad behavior and sin in my life. And after I met Brad and I found this great bunch of young people who were trying to be sober, who were trying to not live sinful, addictive lives, I began to see that there could be a life that was healthy and happy and not as crazy. So I began to walk away from destructive behavior and towards God. And then I also got the beauty of having somebody who loved me walk with me, and that was Brad. So really that changed my life. That November, I see it as a pivotal turning point. So in that first real encounter with God, looking back, it felt like God really reached down and he pulled me out of this despair pit. And then after he pulled me up, he gave me this loving friend who walked with me through the tough early days of staying sober. So Brad and I have spent the last 29 years walking towards God. We have frequently, because we're so human, take two steps towards, one step back. Sometimes we take five steps back and one step forward. But we keep trying to head towards God and know him more intimately. It's a joyful journey that never ends. It's not always happy. Happiness and joy are two different things. Joy comes from God. Happiness does too, but joy is that knowledge that God loves you and he loves you so much that he died for you to save you from sin so that you could be in relationship with him forever. That's joy, is knowing that the final victory is won. And so what the yucky stuff that happens in our day, it's yucky, but it's not the end game. The end game is that we get to be with God forever. Our paths may be different. Everybody in this room has a different path, but the journey is the same, and that's towards Christ. So Brad and I got married in 1989, and then we were in the Episcopal Church for 7 years. We started out, as I said, now Brad grew up in an Episcopal family that actually went to church. His dad was an Episcopal priest. So when he came to me, when we got engaged, and he said, oh, we're going to get married in the church, I was like, okay, well, I don't go to church. And he said, yeah, we're going to get married in the Episcopal Church. I said, well, if we're going to get married in that church, we're going to actually go to church. So we started going to the Episcopal Church. We went to church in Richmond, got married here in Atlanta at St. Luke's downtown. But so for 7 years, we got more and more active in the Episcopal Church. We were very involved. I had never been confirmed in the church, got confirmed in the Episcopal Church, was on the rectory, the vestry. Brad and I both were involved in lots of different ministries. We went to a church in Virginia Highlands. We moved here in 92 and went to a church in Virginia Highlands called Church of Our Savior. It's very high church Episcopalian. The liturgy looks very much like the Catholic Church, so we were sort of pretending to be Catholic. And in 96, the Episcopal Church was really, or actually it was 95, the Episcopal Church was going really sort of off the rails. They really didn't stand for much anymore, and we knew we wanted to have kids soon, and we wanted somewhere solid and unchanging to raise our children. I think that was the main driving thing we felt like we wanted. Our friends went, we had lots of young friends, and they were leaving the Episcopal Church and went one of three places. Some went to Church of the Apostles, which is honestly where I thought we were headed. A guy named Michael Youssef founded that church. It was a lot of Episcopalians who couldn't deal with what was happening in the Episcopal Church and left. So I thought for sure we were going there. Several of our friends went Eastern Orthodox. I thought we might pick that. I did not think that Brad was going to come, which he did one day, and say, I've been praying really hard, and I think we should be Catholic. And my response was, my mother is going to have a fit, which she did. When we told her, she said, this is the quote, but the babies won't be baptized at St. Luke's. I said, you're right, they will not be baptized at St. Luke's. But I looked at him, and I am not a submissive, low-key person, so this was just Holy Spirit inspired. When he said, I think we should be Catholic, I looked at him, I said, you know what? You're the spiritual head of the family. If you say we're going, we're going. And I really just let him lead, which was a huge gift. Every family needs a spiritual leader, and I finally let him lead. So it was, that was a really wonderful gift to our family, me stepping out of the way. So we came here, and we met with the woman named Rhett Seiferman. She was the RCIA director at the time. And I will describe our encounter to you because other people, I don't think any of you all did this to me, but this is because it's classic. We sat in her chair, and we said, so we're Episcopalian, and we believe everything that the church believes. We even say the rosary, and we do Mary. We're good with that. We believe in the real presence. And Brad even would go to the confession in the Episcopal Church, which is not a sacrament, by the way, for them, but we thought it was. Anyway, so we just are going to do a little membership swap. We'll fill out our little card, and we'll start paying, and we're good. We don't need formation. We are really already Catholic. And she looked at us, and she goes, oh, no, you need RCIA. We're like, no, we don't. She said, oh, yeah, you need RCIA. And we argued with her for about 15 minutes. I mean, I remember sitting in the chair in her office, if that office is still here, and arguing. And she finally said, there is no choice. You're going to do RCIA. We're like, fine. And she said, experience the journey. Let God love you. Let him meet you where you are. I don't want you to get involved in anything right away. Just go through RCIA and let God show you what he has to show you. And frankly, we had been so involved and so overworked at our parish that it was really like a gift. We were like, oh. I was pregnant at the time. Halfway through RCIA, the baby was born in November. That's my oldest, Henry. But I got put on bed rest in October. So we started in September. I got put on bed rest. Brad's faithfully come into all the classes. I'm on bed rest. Baby's born in November. We baptized him into the church in January. So he was Catholic before we were, and he loves to tell you that. I was first Catholic. I'm like, yeah, because we got you baptized, dude. Now, all my Protestant family came to the baptism. So Brad and I are in the window of being at RCIA, and we were being very faithful. We were not receiving communion. Every single one of our Protestant family members processes right up there and receives. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I want to receive Jesus. Oh, my gosh. But we didn't. We couldn't. And, it was a very, I'll remind my kids of that. And they're like, oh, wow, it's interesting. They didn't know. And so that's fine. They had their first communion and whatever. God's grace and mercy covers it all. Anyway, then we came into the church Easter of 96. So then, but I really wasn't that well formed because I had missed more than half the classes. Now, Rhett was a very graceful woman. And she said, look, you and Brad and your baby are all converting. You're coming in together. Of course you're coming in. Why don't you sponsor in the next couple of years? And then that's when you'll learn everything. And sure enough, when my oldest was 1.5, that's when I decided to sponsor. And sitting through RCIA that year is when I really learned what the church taught, and I absorbed it. And then the year after that, we got involved, Brad and I got involved with the RCIA team. So that's how I got that's how Brad and I became Catholic. Right after I became Catholic, I did some Bible studies here. My kids went to Christ the King, so I did a lot down there. Brad and I, as I said, did RCIA. We were Adoration Guardians. We slowly got very involved, and that does, at the end of the summer, I will talk to you about how to get involved and dig in and find community and make friends, because that is an important piece of being part of this church, the Universal Church. But for the moment, I want you just to sit and enjoy RCI as we did, because that was great advice that Rhett gave us. So then in January of 15, I was a stock trader when we first got married, over-the-counter stock trader. Then I was a stay-at-home mom for almost 15 years. Then I was an interior decorator for a while, for 5 years. Then I was doing nothing, and the woman who had been in my job for 18 years left. And Brad said, "Ooh, I think you should apply for that job." And I was like, "No, I don't have any skills for that." He said, "Yeah, you've been sitting on the sidelines for 15 years or 18 years going, oh, if I could do that job, how would I change it?" Which I had been doing. So here I am. So in January 15, I started working here at Christ the King. First, I just did RCI, and then halfway through that year, I took on the full job, which is also adult faith formation. So if it's adult and it's faith formation, it's under me. But anyway, that has been a real blessing and a very fruitful thing to be able to share back all this wonderful stuff that I absorbed for almost 20 years. And then in February of 17, Brad, after 6 years of formation, was ordained to the permanent diaconate in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. So we're pretty far in. That's challenging being a couple who's really trying to serve in the ministry and all that entails. Your kids get a little resentful. Oh my gosh, you're going to church again? That's a real thing. So we have to work hard at balance. But we do love serving God and trying to figure out what His will is for our lives and how He wants us to serve others and live out our vocation. So that is our story. And the main thing I would say is that you never know where God's going to lead you. He knows where He's going to lead you, but you don't know. And just as soon as you think you have it figured out, He laughs and heads you in a different direction. So be open and use the summer, and we're going to talk about this more in a minute too, to pray and discern and try to figure out where He's leading you and try to learn to hear His voice, because the sooner you learn to hear His voice, the closer you will feel to Him and the more connected you will feel actually to the whole church. So enjoy this summer, because it is such a special journey. So that's a short version of my story. There's a lot of other amazing ways that God has worked in our lives and the lives of our kids. But we could be here for like hours talking about that. So what I want you to talk about briefly at your tables now is this. Where have you seen or encountered God in your life? How did that affect you? Did it change anything? And how did you get here? How did you arrive here at RCA? So just take like 5 minutes at your tables and just talk about what brought you here. The questions are up there. Go. And I got to find this video I'm going to show you. Treats. But those two things do make me really happy, but not like really happy, but pretty happy. Like watching the beans go. I'm like, I need some Starbucks right now. So here we are. And we've talked about the basic Christian message, that we are lost in our sins, that those deep drives are destroying us, and that God has sent the Savior, Jesus Christ, who died to set us free and offer us a whole new life. It's Jesus that is calling to you now, who is drawing you to Himself. That is why you're in this room. He's drawing you here so that He might save you and give you a whole new life. He died to give you this life, and having been raised from the dead, He ascended to the Father, where He was drawing you to Himself. Even now, calling each and every one of us by name and offering us deliverance from every sinful and destructive drive. He wants to establish in each of us a new, more glorious and hopeful life. So come to Him now, repent of your sins, and let Jesus begin the good work in you. It's a tall order. You're like, oh God, I don't really want to look at all that. And many of you have heard this before, because you guys are not, most of you are not new to this Christian walk. You may have started and stopped and backwards and forwards lots of times. So this story, this gospel message is not new. And you might have changed some things in your life before. Relapse and come back and forward. And that's okay. But here you are now. So let's start afresh from this point, from today forward. So what I would like to do over the course of the next 3 months is I want to help you be disciples of Jesus Christ. So yes, don't worry. You intellectuals are out there freaking out. Oh my gosh, it's going to be all that heart. She's going to light candles and we're going to sing songs. And oh my gosh, she's not going to teach us anything. Wrong. We are going to teach you the dogma and the doctrine of the church. Do not worry. The RCI at Christ the King is very intellectual. I got a lot of big hitters who are much stronger thinkers than I am who will be covering all of that stuff. So don't worry. The piece that I have added since 2015 is to connect to the heart. Because if we teach you all this stuff and you have head knowledge and you understand everything intellectually, but you don't feel it in your heart and you don't make the connection between the two, you won't live it out. You'll know it and then you'll just know it. But it won't actually put you into motion in your life, because to do that, you have to engage your heart. So I want to get your heads and your hearts, and that will launch you into your Catholic journey in a healthy way. So let's talk about very quickly, and I'm going to get you out on time, what discipleship means. The term disciple, The term disciple is derived from the Greek word mathemetes, which means a pupil of a teacher or an apprentice to a master craftsman. It came to the English by the way of the Latin word discipulus, which means a learner, while the more common English word is student. So a disciple doesn't just want to know what the master knows, he wants to be like the master. There is a big difference there. We're not talking about just knowledge, we are talking about action. So you want to be like Jesus, not just know what Jesus did. Discipleship is not a part of your life, it becomes your life. You become Jesus' disciple. And that is how you live out your Christian walk. So, if Jesus is our master, how do we get to know him and develop a relationship with him so that we can begin to be like him? Because you may have heard all this before, and then nobody ever bothers to tell you, well, how do you actually do it? Because when I was in RCIA, I heard some of that. And then I was like, okay, well, are you going to give me like an instruction manual? Because I don't know what to do. I'm sitting here and I'm a newbie. So I hope over the summer to give you some instruction and help you learn how to be a disciple. This past year in RCI, I introduced a new 8-part series, and I taught it at the beginning of 8 classes, and it was just discipleship. And I'm going to work it into the summer. I haven't quite figured out how I'm going to have to condense it, but I'll probably will teach it in several different pieces and front of classes that aren't going to run as long, but we'll still cover the same material. So it'll mostly be explaining what the material is and then giving it to you to let you go try it in your week. Okay, so when I give you these discipleship sheets, I mean, if you want to, you can just toss them in your binder, but read them and use whatever it is that week to dig in and try to figure out what that piece of discipleship means for you. So there are many ways to have a relationship with Jesus. And I want you to look now at your binders. There's the first handout, I believe, after the calendar is how to have a personal relationship with Jesus. See that? We're not going to go over that right now, but please do read it. And oh, and since I didn't send you these ahead of time, do read all these handouts. It's actually a pretty thick bunch of handouts, and I'm sorry. But there's prayer info, there are basic Catholic prayers, there's some good basic information about Jesus and who he is. I just wanted to give you all that. So do look at all these handouts. But this first one is the cheat sheet I developed a couple of years ago, because at the end of RCA, people were like, wait, how do we live this thing out? And I was like, wait, you don't know that? And they were like, no. I said, okay, well, I'm going to make a cheat sheet. It's called How as Catholics Do We Have a Personal Relationship with Jesus? It's on that sheet. It's a multi-part process. The biggest way, the most powerful way that we as Catholics have a personal relationship with Jesus is through receiving the Eucharist. Because we believe that the Eucharist truly is the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus Christ. We receive him into our bodies, and then we are changed and become more like him. We become him. That's what happens. We're going to have a whole class on the Eucharist, and then we'll have the teaching mass, and we'll break all that open. But that's the primary way that we as Catholics have a personal relationship with Jesus. But then there are lots of other ways that we meet him in a personal way, and that's what's on that sheet. So please do read over that. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and he is also the Word made flesh. We learn about Jesus in the words of the four Gospels, which is why I ask you in the fall to be part of a Bible study, because it's important to begin to understand what Jesus' life was like, what he taught, what he said, the miracles, everything that Jesus stood for. It's important to understand that, and it's in the four Gospels. I would like to read from you quickly from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and it's the call of Simon the fisherman. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that they were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him. And likewise, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. Bishop Robert Barron, who is a phenomenal writer and speaker, Catholic writer and speaker, and who spoke at the Eucharistic Congress yesterday, he was phenomenal. He wrote a commentary about this chapter, and I'm going to read it to you directly because it's so beautiful. This is what Robert Barron says about those verses. I want you to let this sink in and think about what it means for you. Without being invited, Jesus simply gets into the fisherman's boat. This is to insinuate himself in the most direct way into Simon's life. And without further ado, he begins to give orders, first asking Simon to put out from the shore and then to go out into the deep. This represents the invasion of grace. The single most important decision that you will ever make is this: will you cooperate with Jesus once he decides to get into your boat? In many ways, everything else in your life is secondary, is commentary. When the Lord Jesus Christ gets into your boat, he will always lead you to the depths. Duc in ultim, as St. John Paul II loved to quote. More dangerous? Yes. More exciting? Yes. Now, mind you, the depths we're talking about here are spiritual depths. The excitement we're talking about is the true excitement that comes from spiritual transformation. The depths have nothing to do with what the world considers important or exciting. So Jesus is getting in all of your boats. That is why you are here tonight. Sponsors, team, everybody here, okay? Jesus is right here in your boats. So what are you going to do with that? If all relationships are based on conversation, that is, after all, how you get to know people, then conversation with Jesus, with God, is essential. And we all know, I hope we know, maybe we know, that what that conversation is prayer. So a great way to get started is 10 minutes of daily prayer. We have all different levels of prayer going on in this room. Some people don't pray, some people pray a little bit, some of you are amazing prayers. Wherever you are, increase that level. But if you're not doing anything, start with 10 minutes. I like morning prayer because it's when I'm more alert. By the time the nighttime rolls around, I'm blowing it off and I'm going to bed. You know yourselves, maybe you're more alert at night, you're not a morning person, and nighttime is your prayer. Maybe middle of the day is better for you. Whenever you feel alert and you can carve out some time, that's your prayer time. And again, if you're already praying daily, just add something to it. Just take it up a level this summer. If I told you guys that I had an app that you could put on your phones, and through that app, you could talk directly to God, people will be lining up to get that app. I think I would be a billionaire. Think about that. A line to talk directly to God. But guess what? We have that. We have that. It's prayer. It is a direct line to God. The more you do it, the better you get at hearing him. Now, that daily prayer book that you've all got is Jesus Calling. I love it because it's a woman who, Sarah Young, she was a missionary for years, and she wrote down, she journaled all her prayers. And so these are all written as if Jesus is speaking directly to you, and it's taken from Scripture. So all the Scripture verses are at the bottom. But I like it because it's so personal, and it kind of hits me between the eyes. And I've prayed through that book so many times, and every time I go back through the year, it's a whole year. I'm like, wait, how can this pertain to this? Because this time last year, it always is the right thing. It's amazing. So I've just given you my personal favorite one, but if you have one that you love, use that and give this to somebody else. It's yours to keep. Just if you don't use it, give it to somebody else, because somebody will like it. It's a fantastic book. But I gave it to you so that you have an easy way. You can't procrastinate. You can't say, I don't have a prayer book. I got to go to Barnes & Noble. You got it in your hand. So tomorrow morning or tonight, you can start praying. So for the next 12 weeks, for this summer, what I want you to commit to is going to Mass weekly and praying daily. Okay, that's your homework. I'm never going to give you other homework. There's no tests this month. We're not doing any of that. Go to Mass and pray daily. So when you're praying, here's what you're going to do. Pick a time and place to pray every day. Habits are formed that way. Pick a chair in your house. It's your prayer chair. Or if you want to come to pray at the chapel, sometimes that's great. But pick a place that you know you're going to be. Some people pray in their car. That's cool too. Whatever it is, same place, same time every day. Sit down with your Jesus Calling book or another book if you like that better. Read the entry. These have reflections with it. If you go to the Laudate app and you pray their daily prayer section, it'll give you, you'll be actually reading the readings of the day and for the church. And you do the readings, then it has a reflection at the end. That's a beautiful way to do it. Whatever it is, read the reflection and then sit and be quiet. It is the most important part in praying. Sitting and being quiet. Now, your brain's going to go, oh, no, I thought about that. Oh, I got to go do that. It's okay. Just come back and try to sit and be quiet. You have to learn how to do it. But once you practice, it gets easier. But it's in that stillness that you will find the presence of God. And when you sit there and you listen, you're letting God love you. Feel how much He loves you. Soak it in. It's real. You can't always feel it, but if you sit and get quiet, you can hear it. Now, at the end is when you add the prayer intentions. I think we frequently come to prayer loaded up with, here's what I need, God. Thank you for whatever, the fact that I woke up and I can breathe today, but here's my list and it's 100 things and get to it. If we come to it the other way I said, which is where you read something scriptural and then you get quiet, you reflect on that, get quiet and listen for Him. And at the end, first say thank you for all the things you're thankful for. Make a gratitude list. They're your best friend. Thank you for all the things you're thankful for. And then at the end, here are the things I'd like to pray for. Pray for other people first. Add your stuff at the end. And then that's it. You can easily do that in 10 minutes. So it's really not hard. It's just habitual. And habits take 6 weeks to form. So by halfway through the summer, if you've been going to Mass and praying daily, you'll have it. And the second half of the summer, you will actually begin to really feel that transformation. So let's all get started. We're going to all do it together. I'm going to do it too. I've been a little bit slacking on my daily prayer, so we all need this reboot. It's going to make us more joyful, purposeful, fulfilled people. So as Bishop Barron reminds us, the single most important decision you will ever make is this. Will you cooperate with Jesus once He decides to get into your boat? Sometimes that's really hard, but think about that over the next week. Think about what that means in prayer. Visualize Jesus getting into the boat with you. Have a conversation with Him. I do that frequently. It's really beautiful. I promise if you are faithful to the prayer time, God will change you and you will not be sorry that you made the commitment. Every single time God meets us where we are, He just does. He loves us and He meets us where we are. We just have to be open. He's always coming to us. Our antenna is just not tuned. And so right now, you're all tuned into Him. Take advantage of that. I'm thrilled that you're here. This is going to be such a fun summer. As I said before, email me with questions. If you need anything at all, reach out. Get to know your sponsors. Sponsors, email your people. Y'all go out and have coffee. Talk about after class if you have questions. The bigger connection you make there, the more fun this journey will be. And we, the team, are just looking forward to walking this journey with you and sharing the beauty of the Catholic Church, because I describe it as we have the best toolbox. Every Christian has a toolbox to get through life. We just have this gigantic 2,000-year-old toolbox that has every single tool you could ever need for being a Christian. So we're going to try to explore that toolbox with you and open it and show you what's inside it, and that's really what the summer will look like. So I have a great bunch of speakers lined up for you. I'm really looking forward to it, and we'll see you next Sunday. At 5 p.m. And I'm 6 minutes early. Yay! All right, have a great week. Oh, we're going to close in prayer. But Brad's going to stop this.
Oh, there was the prayer. Okay, there it is. I guess.